مَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ It is not possible for a human being. مَا كَانَ is used for the impossibility of something. The impossibility of the occurrence of something, of an event taking place. And it is used in two ways, or it is of two types. It is used to show the impossibility of something that is in the Sharia, so shar'an. So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ اللَّهُ لِيُعَذِّبَهُمْ وَأَنْتَ فِيهِمْ In Surah Al-Anfal, Ayah 33. That Allah is not going to punish the people while you, O Prophet, are amongst them. What does it mean? That it is against His law. So, مَا كَانَ meaning it is not possible. Why? Because it is against the law of Allah. Secondly, مَا كَانَ is قَدْرًا. What does it mean by that? That it is in the decree of Allah. So for instance, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا كَانَ رَبُّكَ نَسِيَّ in Surah Maryam, Ayah 64. That your Lord can never be forgetful. مَا كَانَ It's not possible. It's not possible. So basically it is of two types. First of all, it is not allowed. And secondly, it is not possible. It cannot be imagined. It is not permissible. It is not allowed. And secondly, it is not possible. It can never ever happen. So, مَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ What does it mean by مَا كَانَ over here? This is impossible both شَرْعًا and قَدْرًا. Meaning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not allowed this for any human being. And it is not possible that a human being would ever do such a thing. It's different. One is that Allah has not allowed. Okay? And it's possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made something impermissible, but people still do it. Right? Isn't it so? Are you with me? It's possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes something prohibited, but people still do it. So one is that it is not allowed. Second is that it is not possible. That even if people want to, they cannot. Even if people want to, they cannot. They don't have the power. They don't have the ability. So, مَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ It is not possible for a human being. It is not allowed for a human being. It is not appropriate. It is not rationally conceivable. It can never be imagined that something like this could ever happen. Something like what could happen? That a human being, أَنْ يُؤْتِيَهُ اللَّهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحُكْمَ وَالنُّبُوَّةِ That Allah gives to a human being the book, the wisdom, and the prophethood. ثُمَّ يَقُولَ لِلنَّاسِ كُونُوا عِبَادًا لِي مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ Then he says to the people, that be worshippers of me instead of Allah, that worship me instead of worshipping Allah. So it is not allowed for any prophet to say this to the people, nor is it ever possible that a prophet would ever say this to the people. It can never be imagined. It can never be imagined. It can never happen. The word bashar is from the root letters ba, sheen, ra. And the word bashar is used for insan, human being. Meaning of the Banu Adam, of the children of Adam alayhi salam. And why is a human being called bashar? Because of the bashara of the human being. Because of the fact that the bashara is exposed. What is the bashara? It's the human skin. And the human skin is different from the skin of the other creation. How? The other animals, what do they have? They have fur. They have feathers. They have wool. They have something or the other to cover their nakedness. But the human skin is such, the human body is such, that the skin reveals the nakedness of the human being. And bashara literally means to take off something, to peel off something. So bashar is called bashar. Why? Because the human skin is exposed. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created the human being as such. Why? So that the human being knows that he needs libas hissi, that he needs some tangible clothing. The other creation, the other animals, you don't see, you know, cows and other animals wearing winter jackets or summer clothes. No. Their skin is such, their wool is such that it is suitable for the climate that they're living in. But the human beings, they need libas hissi. Their skin is such, and from that they know that they need some kind of libas hissi. Why? so that the human being also realizes that he needs libas ma'nawi as well. He is different from the rest of the creation. He needs libas hissi and he also needs libas ma'nawi. What is libas ma'nawi? The intangible libas. That if he needs clothing to protect himself, similarly, he needs deen. He needs the laws of Allah. He needs taqwa. He needs piety. Just as he needs clothing to adorn himself, similarly, he needs iman and taqwa to adorn himself as well. So this is why the human being has been created in this way. So it is not possible for a human being, and what it means by a human being is the Prophet of Allah. أَنْ يُؤْتِيَهُ اللَّهُ, that Allah gives him what? الْكِتَابَ, the book. Which book is this? Revealed scripture. So for example, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was given the Qur'an. Isa alayhi wa sallam was given the Injil. وَالْحُكْمَ, and the judgment, the wisdom. The word hukm from ha kaf mim is used in several ways. First of all, it gives a meaning of wisdom, basira, wisdom, to know what to do and how to do and when to do. Secondly, the word hukm also gives us the meaning of decision, meaning decisiveness, to have decision power, to have the ability to decide. Thirdly, it is also used for hukm, meaning authority, power. So first of all, wisdom. Secondly, judgment, decisiveness. And thirdly, authority. What does it mean by hukm over here? Hukm can refer to literally authority, rule over the people, governance over the people. Some prophets were given that. For instance, Dawood alayhi salam was given that. Sulaiman alayhi salam was given that. Muhammad sallallahu alayhi salam was given that. So Allah gives him the scripture and he also gives him a huge blessing, that of worldly supremacy, that of kingship. Then hukm has also been understood as wisdom, meaning the understanding of the divine law, how to follow the kitab, how to practice the kitab. So for instance, the Prophet ﷺ was given the Qur'an, but he was also taught how to practice, how to follow the Qur'an. In the Qur'an we learn أَقِيمُ الصَّلَى, but nowhere in the Qur'an do we learn about how to perform the salah. The Prophet ﷺ taught us that. So secondly, what does it mean? Wisdom, the understanding of the divine law. And thirdly, hukm also means judgment that is based on the scripture. Judgment or rulings that are based on the scripture. For instance, the Prophet ﷺ was commanded in Surah Al-Ma'idah, ayah 49, وَأَنِحْكُمْ بَيْنَهُمْ بِمَا أَنزَلَ اللَّهُ, and you should judge between people, how? According to what Allah has revealed. So a human being who has been given the kitab, secondly, hukm, and thirdly, wa-nubuwah, and the prophethood. Nubuwah is from the root letters Noon, Ba, Waw. First of all, it is from the root letters Noon, Ba, Waw, from the word Nabwa. And what does Nabwa mean? Irtifa'. What does Irtifa' mean? Height. From Rafa'in, Rif'a, height. Rafa'a, to raise. So, Irtifa'. Why is a prophet called Nabi? Or why is Nubuwa called Nubuwa? Because a prophet is given a status that is higher than the rest of the people, that is greater than the rest of the people. As we learn in Surah An-Nisa, ayah 69, Allah says, وَمَنْ يُطِعِ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ. Whoever obeys Allah and the Messenger, then such people will be with those whom Allah has blessed. Allah has blessed. They have something that the other people don't have. Who are they? مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ, of the prophets. وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ, and the truthful ones. وَالشُّهَدَاءَ, and the martyrs. وَالصَّالِحِينَ, and the righteous ones. Secondly, it has been said that النُّبُوَّة is from نَبَأ. And what does نَبَأ mean? Important news, relevant news. And the Prophet of Allah is called Nabi. Why? Because he conveys important news to the people, which includes good news as well as warning. Now over here, Allah mentions one nubuwah as well. He mentions prophethood as well. Why? Isn't it enough to just say that Allah gives him the kitab and the hukm? Allah gives him the book and the wisdom. Obviously, someone who has been given the book becomes a prophet, correct? So why is nubuwah mentioned over here in particular? Because if you look at it, the followers of a prophet, even they are given kitab. As we learned earlier in Surah Al-Baqarah, Allah says, الَّذِينَ آتَيْنَاهُمُ الْكِتَابِ. Those people to whom we gave the book, what do they do? يَتْلُونَهُ حَقَّ تِلَاوَتِهِ. They recite it as it must be recited. So An-Nubuwa over here is mentioned to clarify that this person is indeed the messenger of Allah, the prophet of Allah. Not just a believer, not just a scholar, but a prophet of Allah. So it can never be imagined, it is not possible, it is not allowed, that a human being is given by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala a scripture, wisdom, and prophethood. And then, ثُمَّ يَقُولَ لِلنَّاسِ, then he says to the people, كُونُوا عِبَادًا لِي, be my worshippers. عِبَادًا is a plural of عَبْد. And who is an عَبْد? A servant, a worshipper, one who does عِبَادًا. So be servants to me, meaning worship me. مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, besides Allah. How? By obeying me in disobedience to Allah. By prostrating to me. So for example, there are people who go and do sajda at the grave of the Prophet ﷺ. It contradicts the Qur'an. Because it's not possible that a Prophet would ever say to the people that do sajda to me, كُنُوا عِبَادًا لِي, do rukur to me, sacrifice for my sake. So كُنُوا عِبَادًا لِي مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. If you look at it over here, Allah says, كُنُوا عِبَادًا لِي مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, besides Allah. But isn't it so that many people who do worship the prophets of Allah, for instance, who worship Isa alayhi salam, what do? They also worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? It's not that they only worship Isa alayhi salam, they also worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So why is this mentioned, مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ, besides Allah? Because someone who does shirk, does Allah accept his ibadah? No. Allah does not accept his ibadah. In Sahih Muslim we learn, Abu Hurairah reported that Allah's Messenger said, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, I am the one who does not stand in need of a partner. If anyone does anything in which he associates anyone else with me, I shall abandon him with one whom he associates with Allah. Meaning, I am going to abandon this person. I'm not going to accept any of his righteous deeds. So, كُنُوا عِبَادًا لِي مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ. What do we learn in this part of the ayah? That it's not possible that a prophet of Allah would ever make this demand from the people. It's not possible that a prophet of Allah would ever make this demand from the people. It is completely unreasonable. It's not possible. It doesn't make sense. It's not logical at all. Why? Because it contradicts the mission of the Prophet. It defeats the mission of the Prophet. Why is a Prophet sent to the people? So that he tells them to worship Allah. But if a Prophet of Allah goes and says, worship me, what is he doing? He's contradicting his mission. He's defeating his purpose. What do we learn in the Quran? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونِي. There is no messenger whom we sent before you except that we reveal to him that indeed there is no God except Allah. So worship Allah. And this is the message that every prophet conveyed to the people. So if he says to the people, worship me, what does that mean? He is defeating his mission. He's going against his own mission. He's defeating his purpose. It is said that one of the Jews, his name was Abu Rafi' al-Quradi, he said to the Prophet ﷺ, that, O Muhammad, do you wish that we worship you as the Christians worship Isa alayhi salam? And when did he say this? When the delegation of Najran, when they came to the Prophet ﷺ, the Jews also came. And the Prophet ﷺ recited to them the verses of Surah Ali Imran. And he challenged them to Mubahara as well. And he gave them logical proof that Isa alayhi salam cannot be the son of God. So instead of going along with the Prophet ﷺ and accepting what he was saying to them, what did they say? He wants that we should worship him. So that Jewish man, he said, that do you wish that we should worship you just as the Christians worship Isa alayhi salam? The Prophet ﷺ said, I seek refuge with Allah, that I should command to worship other than Allah. Allah did not send me for this, nor did He command me with it. So it's not possible that a prophet would ever say this to the people. What would he say to the people then? وَلَكِنْ but, meaning وَلَكِنْ يَقُولُ لَهُمْ, rather he would say to the people. What would he say to the people? That كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ, that all of you should be رَبَّانِيِّينَ, should be the worshippers of your Rabb, of your Creator, not a human being. You should be رَبَّانِيِّينَ. Who is رَبَّانِي? رَبَّانِيِّين is a plural of رَبَّانِي. And رَبَّانِي is used for a servant of Allah, a servant of Rabb, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is also knowledgeable, who also has ilm. So رَبَّانِي, رَبَّانِيِّين are عُلَمَاءُ الْعَامِلِينَ. They are ulama, they are scholars, they are knowledgeable, but they are also amilin. They are also those who do amal. They are also those who act upon what Allah wants them to do. Because it's not enough to just have knowledge. It's important to act upon the knowledge as well. What was the problem with the Ahlul Kitab? They had knowledge, but they did not act upon it. And what was the mission that the messengers of Allah came with? To make people learn the deen and also practice the deen. To learn about Allah and also do what Allah wants them to do. The word Rabbani, if you look at the Alif Noon at the end, Alif Noon, this Alif Noon is for the purpose of Mubalagha. What does Mubalagha mean? To show the excessiveness of a particular trait. To show the excessiveness of a particular quality. And the Ya at the end, Rabbani, the Ya at the end is for Nisba. What does Nisba mean? What does Nisba mean? Association. So for instance, I mentioned to you about Ism, about name of a person. When we learned about the name of Isa alayhi salam, it includes several things. One of them is Nisba, which is to associate a person to his tribe or to the place that he is from. So for instance, Imam Bukhari, why is he called Bukhari? Because he is from Bukhara. Why is Imam Tirmidhi called Tirmidhi? Because he is from Tirmidh. Right? So this Yi at the end, this Ya at the end is for the purpose of Nisba. So Rabbani, what does it mean by this? Rabbani, meaning one who is obedient to Rabb. One who is very knowledgeable of Rabb. One who is very obedient to his Rabb. So there is Mubalagha and there is also Nisba. And this Alif Noon at the end, and Ya, it is put after a word. Why? For the purpose of Mubalagha, as I mentioned to you. For example, it is said, رَجُلٌ لِحْيَانِي. رَجُلٌ a man, لِحْيَانِي. What is a لِحْيَة? لَا تَأْخُذْ بِلِحْيَتِي. Beard. Okay? So رَجُلٌ لِحْيَانِي is someone who has a very big and thick beard. Similarly, رَقْبَانِي is someone who has a long neck. So it is for the purpose of Mubalagha and also for the purpose of Nisba. And the word رَبَّانِي is understood in two ways. First of all, it is said that Rabbani is derived from Rabb. It is derived from Rabb. Who is Rabb? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And He is not just the creator, master and owner, but rather He is also Ilah. As we discussed earlier, that if someone is a creator, then he deserves to be worshipped. If someone is a planner, then he deserves to be obeyed. So Rabb is Allah. So Rabbani is one who is a servant to his Rabb. Man kana abdan lirabb. The one who is an abd to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And what is it that makes a person a true servant of Allah? When he knows about Allah, when he has ilm of Allah, and he also does that which Allah is pleased with. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said that Rabbaniyin are al-fuqaha al-mu'allimun. Who are they? Al-fuqaha. Who are the fuqaha? Those people who have fiqh. What is fiqh? It's different from ilm. Ilm is to just know the facts. Fiqh is to comprehend the facts, to understand the facts, to understand the book of Allah. So he said that they are the knowledgeable ones, those who have the comprehension the understanding of the deen. Because one is to have ilm, then is to have fiqh, and then you have amal. Because if you only know the fact and you don't understand it, you don't know how to apply it, will you be able to do amal upon it? No. So all of these things are important. So Rabbani is someone who is a true servant to Allah, true servant of his Rabb. Why? Because he has ilm, he has fiqh, and he also does amal. All of these three things. It is said that when Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu died, Muhammad ibn Hanifiyyah, he said that al-yawma mata rabbaniyyu hadhihi al-ummah. Today, the Rabbani of this ummah has passed away. Why? Because Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, who was he? He was a scholar. And he wasn't just a scholar who knew a lot, but he also was a worshipper. He was also a devout worshipper. So Rabbani is someone who is a true servant to his Rabb. How? He has ilm, he has fiqh, and he also has amal. Secondly, it is said that the word Rabbani is derived from the word tarbiyah. From the word tarbiyah, from the root letters ra, ba, wa. Rabb is from ra, ba, ba. Tarbiyah is from ra, ba, wa. And what does tarbiyah mean? Tarbiyah is to look after a living being. It is to look after, to take care of a living being. Why? Because tarbiyah includes providing consistent nutrition. And this is something that a living being needs. You need to constantly provide. You need to constantly look after the needs. And tarbiyah is not just about providing tangible or physical nutrition, but it is also to educate, to culture. So for instance, if there is a human being, are you just going to be concerned about giving food to the human being? Is that all that the human being needs? If a woman has a baby, is she just going to be concerned about feeding the baby? No. What else does the child need? Love, care, attention, training. This is how we see. This is how we speak. This is how we walk. So tarbiyah is not just about providing physical nutrition, but it is also about educating. So Rabbani is who? Rabbani is one who nurtures the people with what? With their ilm. Which ilm? Their ilm of the deen. And he doesn't just provide knowledge, but he also gives training. But he also trains the people as to how to apply the knowledge, as to how to do what Allah wants them to do. So over here Allah says that وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ, meaning the prophets of Allah, what did they say to the people? That you should be رَبَّانِيِّين. So if you look at both the meanings of رَبَّانِيِّين, first is one who worships his Rabb. Secondly, one who trains others, one who teaches others what? The knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given. And he doesn't just give them ilm, but he also teaches them how to do amal. So the prophets, they encouraged the worship of Allah. They encouraged servitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. Not just learning about Allah, but also doing what Allah wants you to do. Bima kuntum, because you were. تعلمون الكتاب, you teach the book. تعلمون is from عين لام ميم. And علم, يعلم تعليم, is to instruct, to train, to give knowledge, to teach, to educate. So bima kuntum تعلمون الكتاب. Who is saying this? This is the speech of the prophets. That the prophets said to the people that you should be رَبَّانِيِّينَ. Why? How? بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابِ, by teaching the book. By teaching the book. Because when a person teaches the book, especially the book of Allah, he should not just focus on teaching only the content, teaching only the facts, teaching only the information. A true mu'allim is one who also does the tarbiyah, who also teaches them how to practice, how to do what Allah wants them to do. So when you will teach the book properly, when your focus is not just on imparting facts and information, but it is also on how to practice the book, then you will become Rabbani. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابِ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ and because you used to study. تَدْرُسُونَ is from دَال رَا سِين درس. And what does درس mean? To study. Basically, دَرَسَ يَدْرُسُ is when the remnant or when the mark of something remains behind it. When something goes away, but its mark is left behind. So for instance, you go somewhere and you casually read, you know, a billboard or a flyer. You just read it once. What's going to happen? After a few hours, you're going to forget about it. Right? But if you study a flyer, if you study a billboard, meaning you read it carefully, you analyze it, you read it over and over again. If you study a book, what's going to happen? It's going to leave its mark on you. You're going to remember it. You're going to think according to it. You're not going to forget it very easily. So dars is formal study. What is dars? The formal study of something that leaves an impact on a person. That a person remembers what he has learned and he also follows. He also acts upon it. So وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ and because you used to study. Study what? Study the book yourself. So we see over here that a Rabbani is who? One who teaches the book, but he also studies the book himself. He also reads the book himself. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابِ You're teaching the book to other people. وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ And you're also studying the book yourself. For yourself. For your benefit. Because many times people just focus on, I have to tell other people. I have to give dawah. I have to tell other people. But what about improving yourself? What about reading the Quran for yourself? For your improvement? For your benefit? Both are important. And when a person does both, then he becomes a true Rabbani. Because then his focus is not just upon their ilm, but it is also upon the amal. So we see in this part of the ayah that the real purpose of learning and teaching the Quran is what? What is it? To just become a scholar? No. It is to become Rabbani. Who is Rabbani? The Abid. The one who worships Allah. The true servant of Allah. So the purpose behind learning the book, behind studying the book, behind reading the book, teaching the book is what? Just so that we can have a certificate? Just so that we can have a diploma? Just so that we can put something in our resume? No. It is so that we can become a better servant of Allah. It is so that we can worship Allah better. Because this book is the book of Allah. And if we read the book of Allah, then it's going to help us improve in our ibadah. It's going to tell us what Allah wants from us. So the purpose of reciting the book, of reading the book, is to develop a strong connection with our Rabb, with Allah. And if we keep this in our focus, then we will not get derailed by other things. Sometimes our focus is just on the marks. Sometimes it's just on the homework. Sometimes it's just on taking beautiful notes. Sometimes it's just about having 100% attendance. All of that is important. But what should the focus be? The real focus. I should become a better servant of Allah. We learn in Surah Al-Anbiya, Ayah 25, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ قَبْلِكَ مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا نُوحِي إِلَيْهِ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدُونِي And we did not send before you any messenger except that we revealed to him that there is no deity except me, so worship me. Why were the people told that Allah is the only God? So that the people can worship Allah. Why did Allah send the book? Just so that we exercise our brains? No. So that we understand the book better and we can worship Allah better. And remember the context in which these verses were revealed. These verses were revealed when? When the delegation of Najran came to visit the Prophet ﷺ. And what did they believe in? That Isa a.s. was God. He was the Son of God. So over here, what is Allah refuting? That it's not possible that a human being who is a prophet of Allah ever commands you that you should worship him. Rather, he has come to make your connection with your Lord better. What did the Bani Israel do? اتخذوا احبارهم ورهبانهم اربابا من دون الله. They have taken their scholars and their monks as lords besides Allah. Surah Tawbah, ayah 31. How? When they obeyed them in disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. When they gave them preference. And when their learning, the deen, only led them closer to their scholars and not closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, when we are studying the book of Allah, we should see, who are we going closer to? What are we going closer to? Are we going closer to amal, action, or arguments? Because many people, they learn and what do? They start arguing with people. Oh, you shouldn't do this because this is wrong. I learned this. This goes against the Quran. This goes against the Sunnah. Yes, it is important to tell people, but is the study of the Quran taking you closer to amal or to arguing with people? Is it taking you closer to Allah or is it taking you closer to some people, some figures, some human beings, some personalities, some scholars? Because the true purpose of studying the book of Allah is what? That you should be Rabbani. You should become a true servant of Allah, a worshipper of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So when we're studying the Quran, we should see, who are we going closer to? Individuals? People? Or Allah? Or am I going farther? Because the objective is to come closer to Allah. So what are some of the lessons that we learn from this ayah? What do you think? The objective of studying the book of Allah is not just to draw closer to some people, is not just to get stuck in personalities, but rather it is to focus on tawheed, on improving our connection with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. What else? The importance of the correct intention, that a person may be studying the book of Allah, but if his objective is not to become a better servant, and if his objective is something else, then all of that effort, all of that study might go against him. Just as the Ahlul Kitab, what did they do? Because the knowledge of the book of Allah did not take them closer to Allah, what happened? That knowledge took them farther away from Allah. They went on to distorting the book of Allah instead of applying the book of Allah. Altering the words of the book of Allah instead of accepting them as they were. Also, we see that we shouldn't wait for, you know, the completion of the book. That when I'm done, then I will do this. No. As a person learns, as a person studies, he should apply. He should do amal. Also, we learn from this ayah a very important lesson, that any prophet, or after the prophets, any person who continues the mission of the prophets, and what is that? Calling people to the deen of Allah. What should he do? What is his responsibility? That he has to call people to Allah, not to himself. His focus should be promoting the deen of Allah, not himself, not his name, not his school, not his label. No, his focus should be promoting the deen of Allah. Also, we learn that the purpose of reading the book and teaching it is what? To connect ourselves with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How? It is done in two ways. That first of all, bima kuntum tu'allimun al-kitab, through formal teaching and learning. بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابِ. Because many people say, I will get closer to Allah even if I don't study the Qur'an. What's the point of studying the Qur'an? I don't want to be a scholar. I just want to be a good human being. But the fact is that you cannot be a good human being, you cannot improve your connection with Allah until and unless you study the book. You can only have a better connection with Allah when you study the book. So بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابِ. And secondly, وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ, by studying the book yourself as well. All of the focus should not just be on teaching other people, but it should also be on improving ourselves. Also, we see that the role of a leader, especially a religious leader, is not just to impart knowledge, is not just to tell the people about information, about the facts of the religion, about what the book says, but rather it is also to do their tarbiyah. It is also to train them so that they don't just know what the book says, but they also know how to practice it. Because only then will the book of Allah help them. For instance, if a person is hungry and you're showing them video recipes of how to cook something very nice, is it going to satisfy their hunger? Similarly, if a person is very hungry and you show them a very famous, a very big book of recipes, Joy of Cooking or whatever, and you just flip the pages in front of them, look, you can make this, you can do this, this is how you can cook, this is how you can cook, but you don't make him cook. You don't show him how to hold the knife, how to cook the food. If you only give him facts and you don't teach him how to apply, is it going to help him? Is it going to benefit him? It's not going to. So it's not just about focusing on the facts and information, but it is also focusing on how to apply. It is about reflecting upon the book, extracting lessons, and relating it with daily life, which is why we have not just this session in which we study the meanings, but we also have the living Quran sessions, that we know how to live the Quran, how to apply the Quran, how to practice the Quran, because both go hand in hand. And this was the teaching method of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. He didn't just tell people what to do, but he also told them how to do. He also prepared them to accept the commands. And this is something that was continued by the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well. Let's listen to the recitation of these verses.
وَإِنَّ مِنْهُمْ لَفَرِيقًا يَلْغُونَ أَلْسِنَتَهُمْ بِالْكِتَابِ لِتَحْسَبُوهُ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَيَقُولُونَ هُوَ مِنْ عِندِ اللَّهِ وَمَا هُوَ مِنْ عِندِ اللَّهِ وَيَقُولُونَ عَلَى اللَّهِ الْكَذِبَ وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ مَا كَانَ لِبَشَرٍ أَن يُؤْتِيَهُ اللَّهُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحُكْمَ وَالنُّبُوَّةَ ثُمَّ يَقُولَ لِلنَّاسِ كُونُوا عِبَادًا لِّي مِن دُونِ اللَّهِ وَلَكِنْ كُونُوا رَبَّانِيِّينَ بِمَا كُنْتُمْ تُعَلِّمُونَ الْكِتَابَ وَبِمَا كُنْتُمْ تَدْرُسُونَ
وَلَا يَأْمُرَكُمْ Nor will he order you, nor is he going to command you. Meaning, he is not going to command you that you should worship him besides Allah. And similarly, he's not going to command you أَن تَتَّخِذُوا الْمَلَائِكَةَ that you take the angels وَالنَّبِيِّينَ and the prophets أَرْبَابًا as lords. He's not going to tell you to worship him. Similarly, he's not going to tell you to worship the angels or the other prophets. What did the mushrikeen of Makkah do? They used to worship angels. What did the Bani Israel do? They started worshipping Uzair alayhi salam. Similarly, they started worshipping Isa alayhi salam. So a prophet of Allah can never teach you. He is not allowed, nor can it ever be imagined that he would teach the people that they should take the malaika and the nabiyeen as arbaban, as lords. Arbab is a plural of Rabb. And who are the arbab referring to? Those who are obeyed in disobedience to Allah, and those who are worshipped as well. Allah questions us, أَيَأْمُرُكُمْ Is he going to order you? Is it possible that a prophet of Allah would ever order you بِالْكُفْرِ with disbelief بَعْدَ إِذْ أَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ after you have actually become Muslims? Muslimun is a plural of Muslim. And what does kufr refer to? What does disbelief refer to? Kufr over here refers to worshipping others besides Allah or along with Allah. So for instance, worshipping the angels, worshipping the prophets. This is kufr. Prostrating to them, worshipping them, obeying them in disobedience to Allah. What is that? Kufr. So Allah questions, that doesn't make any sense. The Prophet of Allah has come to make you Muslim, to make you submit to Allah. Why would he command you to disbelieve by doing shirk after you have submitted to Allah? After you have accepted Tawheed, it doesn't make sense. It is not logical at all. So it's not possible that the Prophet of Allah would ever command you to commit disbelief after he has put in so much effort to make you Muslim. I mean, when the Prophet of Allah, when he does da'wah, initially he faces a lot of opposition. All of the Prophets, they face so much opposition. So he will face all that opposition, he will make you Muslim, and then he will say, okay, you do kufr, you worship me? It's not possible. It doesn't make sense. It's completely illogical. So if anybody claims that they are worshipping a Prophet of Allah, or they are worshipping the angels of Allah, or they are prostrating to a Prophet of Allah, or sacrificing for the sake of an angel, why? Because this is part of deen. This is not part of deen. This is all falsehood, because it contradicts the teachings of the Prophets. It contradicts what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us. Recitation.
ولا يأمركم أن تتخذوا الملائكة والنبيين أربابا أيأمركم بالكفر بعد إذ أنتم مسلمون.